Well, welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to Romans chapter 8 and looking at verse 1 to 4. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We do pray that you would bless it to us. Lord, we can't understand it unless you give us hearts to see and eyes. Eyes that would see your word for what it really is. We acknowledge that our hearts are very often hard, and our ears are dull, and our eyes are blind. And so we pray that your Spirit would work in us today. Lord, cause us to benefit from it in a way that we might be built up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8 probably has to be one of the all-time quoted chapters in the Bible, and I'm sure for many of you, Romans 8 is somewhat of a favourite. Although it feels weird to pick favourite passages and favourite verses and favourite chapters, Romans 8 has to be right up there. If I was to select a favourite chapter, Romans 8 would be right up there. It's a passage filled with incredible highs, incredible majesty, incredible theology, as Paul really soars to the very height of the knowledge of God in his work for us, sinners. Now, one of the things that comes out of Romans 7 is this wrestling reality. Remember, there was this wrestle for Paul and this wrestle for you and I of the sinful old man wrestling within us, seeking to draw us back to sin. And there was that tension of wanting to do the right thing and yet doing the wrong thing. Wanting to follow God and yet failing. And not wanting to rebel and yet rebelling anyway. And as the old man surfaces himself, as the flesh gives birth to sin in our lives, as that indwelling sin is there, one of the questions that so often rises up within us is, am I condemned? When the old self wins for a moment in your life and you do that which you shouldn't, you feel condemnation, don't you? You feel guilt. You feel burdened by the weight of your sin. And so Paul, in a sense, though he doesn't ask the question like he does in other parts of Romans, it's as though he asks the question, what hope is there for us if we turn to the old way? What do I do when I feel condemned because of my indwelling sin, because of my old self? And Paul cries out in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now, no condemnation. If I keep rebelling, if my indwelling sin keeps rearing its ugly head and I keep turning back to vomit like a dog, how can there be no condemnation for me? If I've sinned, shouldn't there be condemnation? Shouldn't there be judgment? Shouldn't there be guilt? If I'm doing that which opposes God's will, if I'm living and acting at times in accordance with my old self, shouldn't there be condemnation for me? Shouldn't there be judgment for me? And Paul says, no. There is no condemnation. For whom? For you, for me, for everyone? For those who are in Christ Jesus. Notice that union with Christ again that was so prevalent in Romans 6. There's no condemnation, not for everyone, not for sinners, but for those who are in Christ, those who are united with Christ by his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his glorification. We remember in Ephesians 2, Paul says, we have been raised to newness of life. We are alive in Christ, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. I was just talking this morning with a couple of guys about the reality of union in Christ, and we were talking about the fact that it's easy sometimes to think as though we're separate from Christ. And so Christ gives us righteousness as though he takes it from himself and separates it from himself and gives it to us over there somewhere, and we're separate from him. But that's not what happens. So the reason we have all the blessings of Christ is because we're in him, because we're united to him. We're joined together with him. And so we have his righteousness, not because it's been somehow given to us separately from Christ, but because we're in Christ. And so all the blessings of Jesus are ours. All the promises are yes and amen because we are in Christ Jesus. So what has God done in Christ for us that we might have no condemnation? Have a look at verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So first thing he's done, notice the for, that connection. There's no condemnation. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. In Christ Jesus. Again, unity. In Christ. In Christ, the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, has set us free from sin and death. So we were under the law and under sin and death. Yet now we are set free by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So the first thing that God has done is the Spirit has removed us from under the law of God and sin and death and put us into the law of the Spirit of life. In other words, put us into God, into Christ, in the Holy Spirit. Then the second thing he's done, verse 3, for that connection again, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. So just think about that for a second. God has done what the law couldn't do. Is it because the law is powerless? No. If you were born perfect, and if you obeyed the law perfectly, then you would have been saved. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, they would never have entered into sin. If they had obeyed God's law, don't eat from the tree, they would have remained sinless. But we're not in that position, are we? We are weakened, Paul says. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. The law couldn't save us. The law couldn't remove the condemnation. Not because the law was powerless, but because you and I weakened it. You see, the law is unable to save, not because the law doesn't have the ability to save, but rather because we, weakened, cannot be saved by the law. The problem is in us. The problem is not in the law. But God did what the law couldn't do. The law couldn't save us, but God could. So what did God do? Second half of verse 3. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So, by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, so not in sin, he doesn't send his Son and make him a sinful human being. He's perfect, but he sends him in the likeness of sinful flesh. We think of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I think it's 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. The idea is that our sin comes upon him. So in his flesh, he takes on our broken form. Why? In order to condemn sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So you see what Paul's explaining here. He comes, Jesus comes in the flesh, weakened. He takes our sin upon himself. He lives perfectly. He obeys perfectly, takes on himself our sin, and thus does two things. One, lives in perfect obedience, fulfilling the requirements of the law, and by taking our sin, bears the punishment of our sin. You see, the gospel has two sides to it. It's like a coin. It's got two sides. One is the requirement of sin to be punished, and that must be dealt with. You cannot have salvation unless your sin is punished. It must be. God is a just God. He punishes sin. But it's not enough just to have your sin punished, because you must have perfect righteousness. No one can stand before God except those who are holy. And so Christ achieves both. By coming in the flesh, he lives perfectly, fulfilling the requirements of the law. Remember, the law can save if you obey it perfectly from a righteous, perfect heart. So he fulfills that requirement. But then he also fulfills the second by taking our sin, by being in the likeness of sin and being punished. So what has God done? In order for us to not have any condemnation, what has God done? In verse 2, he set us free by the Spirit of the law. And verse 3, he has sent his Son to fulfill everything needed. But who's this for? Is this for everyone? Is this for every human being? Have a look at the end of verse 4. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Who walk, this is who it's for, those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So how does the flesh walk? Well, the flesh walks under the law. We've already seen that in chapter 7 and chapter 6. Those who are under the law are bound by flesh and sin to die under the law. But this provision, this no condemnation, is not given to those who walk by the flesh, but given to those who walk by the Spirit. So, who's it for? It's for those not who are children of the flesh, but those who are children of God by faith. And so we can think of John 3, when Jesus is having that conversation with Nicodemus. You remember that? All the way back in John 3, where Jesus says to John, you must be born of spirit and of water. It's not enough for you to be born of flesh, Nicodemus. You need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus, of course, is completely lost. Yet what we need in order to have no condemnation is not to live sinlessly. And that's Paul's point. Why don't we have condemnation? Even though we still fall, even though we still are regretful, remorseful, and repentant for our sinful hearts and our sinful actions, why don't we feel condemned in our sin? Because our sin has been dealt with. And some of you really need to hear that today. In fact, all of you need to hear that today. Because so often in our lives as Christians, we stuff up. We embrace the flesh rather than fleeing. We worship the things around us rather than God. And then we feel condemned. And that's wrong. It's wrong to feel condemned. It's not wrong to feel regret and remorse. It's not wrong to be sorry for rebelling against God. Those are right, repentant responses to our sinfulness. But it's wrong to feel condemned because your sin has been dealt with. Your sin has been washed away. You have been provided with the righteousness of Christ. And so Paul in this chapter is going to go on to stress who we are in Christ as sons and daughters of God. And when we come to understand who we are in Christ, we are set free from condemnation, set free to walk as children of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, We thank you that there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. I pray that you would give us freedom in Christ, freedom to walk without condemnation. Yes, regret and remorse, but no condemnation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me for another Logan's Devotion. See you back here tomorrow afternoon. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter below. God bless.